Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hi, everybody. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be announcing here from the White House some steps that I can take to start fixing our broken immigration system. What I'm going to be laying out is the things that I can do with my lawful authority as president.
Dai picchi nevosi delle Alpi alle contrade siciliane e sarde tutto il popolo italiano
in un certo line liegt die Zukunft des deutschen Volkes.
Hi, everybody. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be announcing here from the White House some steps that I can take to start fixing our broken immigration system. What I'm going to be laying out is the things that I can do with my lawful authority as president.
Well, here is the completion of the arc of the 1960s. It began with Bring It All Down, Man. If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? It began with Bring It Down, Man, and here it is. He's bringing it down, man. Tonight, President Obama will turn off the lights in the White House, inducting us into 2 years of darkness. Now, many of us know what's going on. Many of us know that this is a dictator in the making. But a dictator is not someone who appears overnight. I've been trying to warn you about this character from the day he started his global takeover. The fact of the matter is, we can say many things about him, and people have said it in different ways. Some have called it an emperorship and a dictatorship, and I called him a rogue president, and Pat Buchanan picked up on that today. Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it. But I think that in order to focus on this in a way that the average moron out there can understand it, we're going to focus today on the fiscal cost of illegal aliens and amnesty. The fiscal cost of illegal aliens and amnesty to the U.S. taxpayer. And the best article on this was done by Robert Rector of the Heritage Foundation a number of years ago. And he reminded us that the direct benefits to illegal aliens include Social Security, Medicare, unemployment insurance, and workers' compensation. Means-tested welfare benefits. There are over 80 of these programs, which cost nearly $1 trillion a year at that time. And this provides cash, food, housing, medical, and other services to 100 million low-income Americans. Major programs include Medicaid, food stamps, the refundable earned income tax credit, public housing, supplemental Social Security income, and temporary assistance for needy families. How about public education? At a cost of $12,300 per pupil per year, he writes, these services are largely free or heavily subsidized for low-income parents. But what about police, the cost of police, fire, highways, parks, and similar services? As determined by the National Academy of Sciences, as part of its study on the fiscal cost of immigration, you're paying for all of it. Now, the cost of these governmental services is far larger than many of you imagine. In 2010, and that was a long time ago, the average U.S. household received $31,000 in government benefits and services in these four categories, right? But it's much higher amongst immigrant households. What you don't understand is that immigrants, while we see them as hard workers, and they are hard workers by and large, have large families which don't work at all. They are large families which you are subsidizing in all the silent ways that I've just mentioned. Schools, police, fire, highways, parks, housing, you name it. They're getting it all. And so Obama will lie tonight, as usual, because he's a serial liar, when he tells you that they're not getting amnesty, they're not getting citizenship, they're not getting this, they're not getting that. You know exactly what he's doing. And the biggest issue here, from the point of race, is how is it that the first black president turned on the black population like this? Because you see, the people who are going to be affected most by the flood of illegal aliens and their relatives are not the middle class. You're not going to get deeply affected. It'll cost you a few thousand dollars a year more for them, for all these services I mentioned. It's the people at the bottom who are going to be hurt the most. And who is he doing this for? It may look as though he's doing it for the poorest of the poor. It may look as though Obama really is reaching out to the poor Hispanic, the gardener, the maid, the hotel worker, but he isn't. He is answering to Zuckerberg. He's answering to Google. He's answering to the guy who owns Microsoft, Bill Gates. He's answering to the hotel owners. What you don't know is wrapped up in this big rhetoric about helping the illegal immigrant become a citizen or whatever he's going to say tonight is the fact that wrapped in it are the B-1B visas. You know what those are? That's what Zuckerberg, one of the greediest men God has ever made on the planet, in my opinion, that's what Zuckerberg has been after. A guy like Zuckerberg is worth billions and billions of dollars, but you know there's a disease. The disease is called avarice. And avarice is an incurable disease. It's a mental disorder. There's no amount of money that could ever satisfy men like him. And so although he and Gates are worth billions, many billions, and they give away a lot of money, don't they? Then why do they need more money through lower wages? Well, you let them answer that. Why do they put their net worth above that of the value of the America that they use to get where they are? Why is it that they hate America so that they would shaft America for private gain? Because the B-1B visa says we're going to bring in hundreds of thousands of workers from India who will work in our companies for $25 or $30 an hour, if that much, and we will not hire all of the millions of unemployed or, let us say, underemployed American IT workers because they may want $50 to $60 an hour. And although I'm worth billions of dollars, why should I pay an IT worker $50 an hour when I get someone for $20 an hour? That's the thinking. That's the mentality. Now, a rational government would not permit this. But since the government is them, that's why this is happening. But you're not going to hear this tonight. You will not hear anything about the B-1B visas tonight. So we're going to be doing a pastiche today of things on amnesty and illegal immigration, because ever since I began in radio in 1994, this has been the signature part of the Savage Nation. Borders, language, culture, anyone? No one has better defined a nation than Michael Savage. Borders, language, culture. No one has defined a nation in simpler terms or more correct terms than I have. What Obama does with the stroke of a pen is decimate our borders, our language, and our culture with one stroke of a pen. And I've been speaking on this and writing on this going back, as I say, since I began a radio in 94 and even before that when I was writing on immigrants and epidemics. And let's not forget the epidemics that we're talking about, including a bill that was just passed today while you were focused on Ferguson and the Emperor Jones up there. Homeland Security grants deportation protection to people from Ebola nations. So they're inviting them in with Ebola now. So you ask yourself, what? U.S. to allow people from nations hit by Ebola to stay temporarily? Why would he do that? Why in the world would they do that? Tell me why they would want people from Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone into the United States. Tell me why. Why would this clown in the Homeland Security Department do a thing like this? Why would this president have brought an Ebola patient here to begin with? Why would he have let him come in through the open borders? Do you understand what I'm saying? In addition to what I'm going to be saying today, as we wait for the president's devastating speech, which introduces us into 2 years of tyranny and darkness, I want to play for you today some things that I found, or my guys found today for me on YouTube and elsewhere, pieces I've done on illegal immigration for one reason. It's to show you that I have fought the good fight, I've tried the best I can, and I lost. It's that simple. I have to admit defeat. It doesn't mean that I didn't fight, and it doesn't mean that I have no self-respect. I have fought the good fight ever since I began radio in 1994, and I will continue to argue against granting amnesty to illegal aliens because it will decimate us in ways you could never imagine. But on the other hand, we have lost not because I was wrong, but because we have no government. We don't have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. We have a thin, petty dictator in the White House who thinks he is above the law. Now, people stop me and say to me that they're frightened. They don't understand the country they live in anymore. Strangers come up to me. They see Teddy. my dog, and they see him first. They don't know what I look like. I don't know. Somehow they know what the dog looks like, and they say, are you Michael, blah, blah, blah. The first thing they say is, we're very worried. I said, listen to me, and I'm going to say to you what I've said to these strangers who've said that to me. I am very optimistic that nature, or the forces of nature, or the forces of history, will do something unexpected that none of us can anticipate. And I believe that Obama is right now like Icarus. He is so out of control with reality. He is flying so close to the sun that, like Icarus, the feathers will fall off his caught. His feathers will fall off the wooden wings. The wax will melt on the wings of Icarus. In what form that may come, I cannot predict. But nature does not happen to like dictators. Dictators, if you look back, very few of them, very, very few of them get away with it forever. This man is now testing his wings to new heights. And I feel that the Democrat Party itself will step in and do something that we could never imagine. They will curtail him in ways we can never even understand, and we won't even know what's going on. Look at what just happened to Bill Cosby. Now, whether or not these allegations are true or not is not something I want to talk about. Let's assume that they, for the moment, are not true because he hasn't been tried in a court of law, and I'm not going to join the parade of people saying that he should be hung for rape. I don't know anything about Bill Cosby. I never particularly watched the man, but he is a giant. Look what happened to him in a period of less than a week. Why did they destroy Bill Cosby with these allegations, true or false? Somebody wanted to bring him down. Somebody wanted to smear him. And there's not a person on the planet who does not have skeletons in their closet. And I am predicting, as I stand here, that history will judge me correct when I predict that sometime in the very near future, his own party will pull a Bill Cosby on him. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
But remember, President Lincoln said public sentiment is everything. So the public has to, I wish the Republicans would at least give the public a chance to listen to what the president is trying to do. And also, does the public know that the Emancipation Proclamation was an executive order? People have to understand how presidents have made change in our country.
Well, again, the Looney Tunes background says it all. You know she's wrong because the woman is a lunatic. Pelosi, Gutierrez are trying to say that amnesty by Obama is no different than other executive orders that were taken by presidents, including Reagan and Bush. Now, it's fake. It's fake history because Reagan and Bush made administrative changes designed to carry out congressional intent. They did not write the law. A president cannot write laws. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution gives Congress exclusive authority. Congress exclusive authority to, quote, establish a uniform rule of naturalization. And it is the president's constitutional duty under Article 2, Section 3 to, quote, take care that the laws be faithfully executed, close quote. Now, since Nancy Pelosi never met a law that she didn't want to evade, in my opinion, she wouldn't know the difference between an executive action that makes certain that the law passed by Congress is executed, and one that is simply written by a president to override the people and Congress. So he is simply acting unilaterally, is what he's doing tonight. It's illegal. It is unconstitutional. It will be overturned downstream by the Republicans. That's if they really want to overturn it. And I've said this before, I don't think they do. I think Boehner and McConnell are part of the problem, not part of the solution. I know they represent corporate mentality. And I'm not anti-corporation, don't get me wrong, but I'm pro-American, and I put America before the profit margin of any particular corporation. You want to help corporations? Then lower their tax rate to that of most countries on earth. You want to help American corporations? Lower their tax rate to 15% rather than what it is today. That will do more to help American corporations than bringing in cheap labor. Dave on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I just want to know your opinion about K Street and what it represents in the situation with immigration, the lobbyists who are controlled by the corporations. What do you think?
Well, it's very clear to me that Obama is answering to the very K Street Corporation lobbyists that you're mentioning. I mentioned Microsoft. I mentioned Facebook. I mentioned Google. They all want massive immigration. You know that.
And what about the Democrats that want massive, and the Republicans who are part of the, you know, the structure, the corporate structure, all of them, the whole Congress?
Well, it's not all of them. Not all Republicans are. There was just a revolution at the ballot box where Tea Party members and fiscal conservatives were elected in large numbers. Let's not forget what just happened. Just because the media wiped it away doesn't mean the American people didn't vote. We did vote. And our vote was not nullified by the vermin in the media. The vote mattered. It happened twice now. Obama's policies have been rejected by the American people anytime they could vote in this dictatorship in which we live. In 2010, do you remember what happened during that election? Obama's policies were repudiated. What happened the next day? The vermin in the media made believe there was no election. They said it was nothing. They said it was an anomaly. They said it was an accident. What happened just the other day? There was another election. What happened? There was a landslide. Why don't you read about it? Because the vermin in the media who hate America and hate our freedoms are dancing to the same drummer that Pelosi is dancing to. That's all I can say about it. This unilateral amnesty that he is passing tonight is unprecedented. It is unconstitutional. It should be overturned. It probably will be overturned. Whether it could be overturned and the illegals be told that they're going to have to give up the green cards that he gives them is another story. One of the finest statements on it was written by Joseph Curl in the Washington Times when he said, Obama sets off on scorched earth rampage. Some men just want to watch the world burn. Alfred talking about the Joker in The Dark Knight. Some men just want to watch the world burn. He writes this. He says, Obama, fresh off a shellacking in the 2014 midterm elections, in which he made himself a centerpiece, much to the chagrin of embattled Democrats, is about to embark on a scorched-earth rampage that will change the face of America forever. Scorched-earth rampage. But I think my phrase is the best. Rogue president. He is a rogue president who has escaped the circus. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, and I'll make another statement today that'll be roundly stolen by tonight. Tonight's act by Obama will make the Mariel boat lift look like a radar blip. Those of you who remember the Mariel boat lift and what it did to Miami and South Florida and America, for that matter, understand that Fidel Castro said, oh, you want Cubans? We'll give you Cubans. He emptied out his jail cells. Now, you don't understand something. 30% of all prisoners are illegal aliens who came here and committed multiple felonies before they were caught and tried, convicted, and imprisoned. Today's act by Obama will make the Mariel boat lift look like a radar blip because Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, do you think that they're getting rid of their... Let me ask you something. Who is emigrating from those countries? The cream of the crop? Well, no, there are some who are just poor and looking for a better life. And what's a better way to have a better life than welfare? They live better on welfare than they do in their own country. So where would you go if you were invited in? You say they're not on welfare. I just told you fiscally. That's true. They are. They cost us over $1 trillion a year back when this was done by the Heritage Foundation 5 years ago or 4 years ago. Cash, food, housing, medical services, Medicaid, food stamps, earned income tax credit, public housing, SSI, temporary assistance for needy families, public education, police, fire, highways, parks. Who's paying for all of it? You are. So don't tell me they all come here to work. And believe me, they come here because they know it's the land of plenty. It's the land of milk and honey. And they're here to milk the milk and lick the honey. So the unilateral amnesty that Pelosi and Obama are trumpeting tonight will turn off the lights in the White House and grant us 2 years at least of darkness. The Mariel boat lift, when Castro emptied his prisons, will look like a radar blip compared to what we're going to get coming across the border. Now, what I want to do is play for you a 2003 CNN appearance by Michael Savage I was invited to discuss my book, The Savage Nation. It was my first big book outside of the literary stuff I had written and the health stuff I had been writing. And it sold, I don't know, a lot of copies. Doesn't matter how many. You know, you put things in terms of selling and numbers, it means nothing. You got the books that sell 12 copies that are brilliant. This sold very well, that's all. But the contents are worth sharing with you. I want to read you the title, The Savage Nation, Saving America from the Liberal Assault on Our Borders, Language, and Culture. So long before copycats in the business, who were low-ranking bureaucrats in the government, entered the fray of talk radio and copied everything in this book and all of my others, I was already writing the books, and I was already appearing on television. And interestingly enough, CNN was far more rational in 2003 when they invited me on with this book than they are now under Jeff Zucker. So in this case, they set me up to argue with a basketball player named Charles Barkley, who, frankly, I never heard of before this. I am not a basketball fan. I didn't know who he was. And they stocked the audience with folks who looked like, well, let's say that they live in Ferguson. Let's listen to the clip right now.
Well, I think it's self-evident that a nation is defined primarily by its borders. Without borders, where's the nation? That's number one. When you have a house, your house is defined by your property line. A nation is defined by its property line. Either you defend it or you let burglars in. We have 15 to 20 million illegal aliens in this country. Yes, I know many immigrants are hardworking, but how do you explain that 30% of all of our prisoners are here illegally? They didn't come here to work. They came here to work the system. We need to do what people are doing in Europe. Even liberal Europe is closing its borders and seeing who's coming in and who's not coming in. Who do you want in your country? Do you want anybody? Do you want everybody? You want a selective few? Can we afford to take in tens of millions of people when we have poor people of our own? These are questions that aren't being discussed.
I think there is some truth in that. I think we have to hold people accountable. I think as far as immigration, that's always going to be a very difficult situation because, number one, discrimination is always going to exist. There are a lot of great people here who are immigrants who come here with goodwill, but some people come here with bad will, and we just have to – some people already here got bad will.
Which immigrants does a nation want? Do you want educated immigrants? Do you want poor? Do you want people with tuberculosis? Do you want people who need heart and lung transplants that everyone has to pay for?
We're not saying all immigrants who come here have goodwill, legal or illegal, but who gets to pick and choose that? That's the question.
Who gets to pick and choose? A nation has a dialogue about it, and we say we can't take in any more people. We have our own poor. If we want any more immigrants, we need to find out if they're criminals, if they're healthy. We used to have an Ellis Island where people, if they had a disease, they were quarantined. We have people coming in today with tuberculosis. We certainly can't agree that that's a good thing for America, can we?
Well, I will agree with you on that. I think we do have to do a better job of screening, but also it would just be fair. And the system right now is not fair. First of all, I'm not disagreeing with you that we have to be more restrictive as far as immigration. But who knows who's going to be a crook when they get in, who's going to be a hard-working person, is my question. Who gets
to
choose?
Well, I think we have quite a database of illegal aliens who are not permitted into the country, and we certainly want to keep them out. My main point is that our border with Mexico is not guarded sufficiently. You've got citizens trying to protect their farms. I think we ought to put some troops on the border with Mexico, not continue to leave it as an open sieve. The fact is that the border with Mexico is quite porous, and terrorists are known to come into a country through a porous border. They caught them in the Canadian border. The Mexican border is wide open. The government ought to look into that and help the Border Patrol with some U.S. troops.
You know, it's interesting. You said 30% of the criminals are illegal aliens. Is that what you said?
That's what I read.
Sounds like it's only 70% of our own people.
So?
That's my point. You blame the 30% of the people for the problem, and 70% of the people, they're friends of ours, they're our family members. Why are you blaming that small 30% and not blaming that 70%?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Your logic seems to be so screwed up. You can't even present an argument. I don't know what you're saying. You're saying that we should let the
30% go? Oh, come on, Michael.
You know what Michael is? Michael's one of them guys who really, really smart, who's a dumb. Like, he wants, you're really intelligent.
Wait. Listen, no. I am jumping in here.
Yeah, so she cut me off the minute I showed him for being a basketball player. Why they would pair me with him is incomprehensible. I have no idea why they put a bottle of Dom Perignon next to a bottle of old beer. But okay, that's their idea of comparisons, and they filled the audience with his fit. Whatever. That was then. This is now. The point was, I'm just trying to show you that I've been fighting this fight for a long time. And back in 03, at least they were willing to have even an unfair debate on CNN. Today, they wouldn't have me on with Stop the Coming Civil War, because that book is even better than my first one, The Savage Nation. Same with Fox News. They're afraid to debate me. O'Reilly is a big mouth when he controls the microphone, but he refuses to debate me. The same with the others on Fox. They're, you know, you ask why am I not on Fox, even when I helped rescue the dog for the soldier, they're afraid of me. It's as simple as that. It's not that they detest me. They know they cannot beat me in an argument, so they don't have me on. So the only way to have me on is to support me, which is something that is reprehensible to them. And as you well know, Fox News wants amnesty for illegal aliens. That is a known policy around the halls of Fox News. You ask anyone who really works there. It's a topic they're not allowed to take on in any way but a positive manner. Everybody knows that Murdoch wants amnesty. Everybody knows that they've been given their marching orders to never attack illegal immigrants. We all know that. That's another issue that I have been trying to tell you, which is they're a very good operation, a very good outlet. They do very good work, but on certain issues, they do terrible work. And you have to be aware of it, and that's why you have a potpourri of choices in the media, including this and other shows. And if you don't like what we're saying, you turn it off and you turn those on. But the main point in my discussion at that time, actually the better version of that is found on michaelsavage.com. It's a YouTube piece. If you want to hear the whole flavor of it, including the ending with the insults that they just cut off in this piece for radio, the eviscerated piece that we just ran for you, is not as flavorful as the original version, which can be found in its entirety on michaelsavage.com. But the point I'm trying to make is a larger one, which is that borders, language, and culture are the definition of a nation. And we all know that. And Obama's Mariel boat lift tonight will be an attempt to destroy the sovereignty of the United States of America. And I got to say this again. You may not know this, but I'll make my point that I made yesterday. Let us say you are an immigrant from Guatemala, and you're working in a house and making $20 to $25 an hour legally. Let's say you have a green card and you're working. It took you a while to get that card, and you're making, I don't know, $50,000, $45,000 a year as a maid in an affluent suburban community. Are you telling me that immigrants from Guatemala and El Salvador who work their way up want a flood of millions of illegals to come in who will work for $10 an hour? No, they don't want them. They oppose it. In fact, the latest polls show that the so-called Hispanic community is roundly divided on amnesty for illegal aliens. The media would have you believe that there's some solid block called the Hispanic voter. It is not true. It's absolutely not true. It's like saying that all blacks think a certain way, all Jews think a certain way, all Irishmen think a certain way. It's not true. Now, it's true that there are trends and patterns. I understand that. But the Hispanic community, I don't call them Latino, because Latino is a word that isn't properly applied. It's a political phrase that was invented by the radical left. So let's avoid the word Latino. Let's call the word Hispanic, because the folks are of Hispanic descent, more particularly in many cases Hispanic Indian descent. If you want to be specific from an anthropological point of view, but that's rather irrelevant. What's relevant is that this block of people in America do not all worship Mr. Gutierrez. They do not all worship Barack Obama. They do not all worship the radical left. And I'll prove it to you in another way. There was a vote in California a couple of years ago on gay marriage. And here's something the media hid from you. The Hispanic community voted against it in a 9-to-1 vote. 90% of the black community voted against gay marriage. They found it to be repugnant to them. The Hispanic community found it to be repugnant. So don't assume that this is going to yield a basket of opportunity for the radical left. It will backfire on them in the long run. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. We're talking about the fiscal costs of Obama's amnesty for illegals tonight. They're not calling it amnesty, but we know what it is. And I want you to look way ahead with me right now for 1 minute. We'll go back to the immediate fiscal costs of Obama's unconstitutional act, which he's going to announce tonight. And I want you to look at what's going to happen when these illegals retire. Currently, unlawful immigrants are not eligible for Social Security and Medicare. But under the amnesty that Obama is slowly proposing, they would become so. And tell me what you think the costs will be when this wave of illegals retires and suddenly collects Social Security. And what about Obamacare? You're going to say, well, Obama's announcing tonight that they're not going to be eligible for Obamacare. Well, that sounds very good. They're going to get free medical care anyway, as they do now in the hospitals, many of which are completely bankrupt as a result. So the costs are overwhelming. Let's take some of the callers on the Savage Nation. KKOH, the flamethrower out of Reno, Nevada. Mike, welcome to, oh, is Mike there? Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael. I told your call screener that I expected Obama to do this because this is what he was designed to do. And it's what he's going to continue to do, to cause chaos, to cause problems, to keep everybody jumping. And he has nothing to lose at this point. Nothing.
Yeah, well, hold on. He may have nothing to lose because he enjoys agitating people. This is what he's done all of his life. But he's no longer playing a game in the schoolyard of using thugs behind him to defend them as he agitates people. He has a party that he's destroying. As evidenced by the last election, he is single-handedly dismantling the Democrat Party. They will not exist at the end of 2 years if he continues this. And that's why I predicted at the beginning of the show that an unexpected consequence of his madness will be initiated by his own party. That's what I expect to happen, Mike.
Yeah, but here's my bigger point, though, that somebody should have done something about this a long time ago. And you know that, Michael. Every president, every Congress, every power that we've had has looked the other way for so long that he is forcing their hand to do something. It's like
so you want it both ways. You're saying that he's acting in an illegal manner, but he should act in an illegal manner, is what you're saying.
Listen, I'm a truck driver, and I go all over California and Nevada, and I.
Wait, hold on, but you're not answering the question. You made two statements just now, Mike. You said he's doing something he was designed to do. Then you're saying in a way that he should be doing it.
No, I'm not saying he should be doing it, but I expect that he's doing. I expect him to do that because.
Well, but the fact of the matter is, it's unprecedented and unconstitutional.
Sure, but Mike, how long have?
Well, you can't go over the word "sure," and that doesn't make it legal. What he's doing is setting the world on fire.
But who's going to do something to him about it, Michael? No.
Well, that's what we're talking about. I have laid out a legislative method of overturning what this clown is going to do tonight. It's not that he has this ultimate power that can stand the test of an actual legislator. And let's not forget what just happened at the election 2 weeks ago. The man was told, your policies are a complete failure. We reject your left-wing fanaticism. Isn't that what just happened?
Sure.
All right. Yeah. So come January, the Republican Party has a full majority in both houses. They have every power to overturn what he's about to do tonight. The question is, does Boehner and McConnell really want to overturn it? That's the question. And that comes right back to my strategy and stop the coming civil war. I warned America that our work would begin after the election. I told you that the Republican Party was in on the screwing of the American taxpayer. And now is the time to force Boehner and McConnell to do what we elected all of these new people to do. And that is to not permit the radical left to destroy us any farther.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Obama's amnesty tonight, and he's not going to call it amnesty. He'll say they're not going to get Obamacare. We're talking about the fiscal costs. Do you understand that? WABC New York, Cole, fire away. We have only 30 seconds. Go ahead, please.
Hey, so you cited this Heritage Foundation study, and you said this is the end-all, be-all. This is the numbers. We can't deny them, right?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, well...
But I gave you numbers, so what's your main point? You have different numbers. Where are they from?
Right, the entire... Right.
Wait, hold on, Cole. Give me the numbers that you're about to cite. Where are they from? Where are they published?
These are just counters. Well, the American Enterprise Institute did a rebuttal to this study.
I'll tell you what, Cole, you sound like a young man Hold him over. Let's take him at the top.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Tonight, the President of the United States will deliver a speech where he will throw gasoline on the already blazing fire, consuming the issue of illegal immigrants amongst us. With just a few weeks left before the end of the 113th Congress, with a landslide that just repudiated all of his leftist policies, he has tripled down, and with his royal scepter, he will turn as many as 30 million illegal aliens into American citizens. Not immediately, but this is the road that he is taking us down. And I will say again, as I said in the last hour, that tonight's act by this imperious president will make the Mariel boat lift look like a radar blip. Why do I say that? I say it, for one, because 30% of the inmates of our prisons are illegal aliens who were caught committing a felony, tried and convicted and incarcerated. That's number one. But number two, if you were the president of El Salvador, Mexico, or Nicaragua, and you saw an idiotic northern neighbor like America opening the borders instead of closing them, what would you do? Wouldn't you get rid of your poorest and your criminals? Wouldn't you encourage them or force them to leave your country because they're parasites on your system and send them to the United States where they're welcome? Well, that's what's going to happen. So the scorched earth rampage that Joseph Curl wrote about is what's going to happen as a result of this illegal act by the president. Now, we could argue about this all we want, and there'll be people on the side for it and those against it. But let's look at it from the fiscal point of view. Even the wide-eyed college student who thinks that all immigrants come here to work and it's racism to oppose them must understand that they themselves are going to be sacrificed on the altar of liberalism once they go out into the workforce and once they actually earn a check. And once they look at the, deductions that are taken out of their paycheck, their mouths will fall open when they realize how much their taxes are. Many of them have never worked a day in their lives. They never washed the car. They never babysat. They never worked in a laundry. They were never a busboy or a waiter. They were lucky enough to come from a middle-class home where their mother and father sent them to college. So they've never worked. So they don't know what real work is. They don't know what a paycheck is. And so when they look at their paycheck, they'll come to realize that those high taxes go for paying Social Security, Medicare, unemployment insurance, workers' compensation. And all of the other benefits that the average American gets will now be available to the 30 million illegal aliens that Obama will suddenly, with his scepter, grant a pseudo-citizenship to. This will cost a great deal of money because they're entitled to Medicaid, food stamps, the refundable earned income tax credit, public housing, supplemental security income. Even if they're not legally able to access these programs, most of them are already gaining access to these programs illegally. Most of them are using our hospitals. They don't need Obamacare. He'll tell you tonight that they're not going to get Obamacare. So you'll say, oh, that's good. That's good. But they're getting it anyway. They're going to your hospital and they're bankrupting your hospital. I've been in these emergency rooms right here in my community. Unfortunately, I had to go 3-4 times last year for various events. See, I don't have a doctor. I know it's strange. Every time I don't want to make it too personal, but I've been very lucky so far. If I go into an emergency room, the first thing they ask me is, who's your doctor? I said, I have none. They look at me. They say, it's impossible. What medications are you on? I say, none. Vitamins and aspirin, vodka and wine. And garlic. They don't know. They think I'm telling them a fib. I don't have a doctor. And they don't have doctors either, but they don't need doctors because they use the hospitals instead of doctors. And when I was in these emergency rooms, I was amazed. You'd see children with a flu from Mexico, for example, with 10 family members sitting in there behind the tent with not only doctors and nurses tending to their every need and every imagined need for fear that the vermin in the ACLU will sue the hospital and the doctor, but there's a translator there. You have no idea what this is costing you. And you will have no idea until you actually go to work for a living like a grown man. And as they say, look, I was once young and I was once a liberal. In fact, I was once a social worker. In fact, I am the son of an immigrant, so I have sympathies towards immigrants. But it took me a while to lift the veil off this whole issue of immigration until I saw through it and realized what it is. And there's a much bigger picture here than you may imagine. It's not the hardworking busboy or the gardener or the maid or the cook that we all see every day. It's the silent millions sitting at home who do not work. They're not the gardeners. They're not the cooks. They're not the maids. They're sitting at home knocking out babies like loaves of bread because each baby is a meal ticket and each baby needs to be educated and medicated. Need I remind you that these things cost money? So there are real fiscal costs that have been analyzed. And now let's look forward, all you youngsters out there who think that Michael Savage is a mean guy, just a mean right winger. Let's listen to him and laugh. Let's say you're in your 20s and you've been brainwashed in the schools, which you have been. Well, I'm going to take you forward 20 years to when these illegal aliens will retire, those that Obama will grant instant citizenship to. And then they retire and they suddenly cash in on Social Security. And what's going to happen when you retire and you want to cash in on Social Security and the funds are not there? What are you going to do then? Who are you going to blame, me or you? There's a saying that anyone who is not a liberal at 20 has no heart. But there's another saying that says anyone who's still a liberal at 40 has no mind. And I changed that to this, which is, what do you call a liberal with two children? The answer is a conservative. I can go further if you wish, which is, what do you call a liberal with three children, a Tea Party member? What do you call a liberal with four children? You just run the numbers and make up anything you'd like to. So a lot of this has to do with people living on the dole, whether it's their parents or inherited money, who think that they're above it, it doesn't really matter to them. And as I've said yesterday, the average middle-class American is not going to be directly affected by this. Let's say middle-upper-class American will not be affected by this amnesty directly or immediately. It's the poor who will be affected immediately, but most particularly, it is the ultra-rich, like Facebook's founder, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, the benevolent dictator who runs Microsoft, the Google guys who have just been granted a hangar at NASA's Ames Research Center for reasons nobody can understand. You talk about welfare? You talk about welfare? How about granting a giant NASA hangar for their private plane at the NASA Ames Research Center airfield down near San Jose? No one's looking into that, but that's in Nancy Pelosi's backyard. And of course, that airplane was used, if I'm not mistaken, to ferry Nancy Pelosi's daughter to her wedding, courtesy of the Google executives. But that's another story that didn't make it to the news. I just love how all of these do-gooder liberals are just so in favor of the poor. But it seems to me it's very much like the missionaries who came to Hawaii 150 years ago to do good and did very well indeed. That was an old saying I learned when I was living in Hawaii. When I try to understand how so much land in Hawaii could be so-called leasehold. I never heard of leasehold land. You couldn't buy the land. You could only lease it for 99 years. It was all held by the five families. Who are these five families? Well, they're all descendants of missionaries. What? How'd that happen? Well, the wink that went around Honolulu at the time was the missionaries' ancestors came here to do good, and they did very well indeed. They stole the land from the local Hawaiians, and they own the land. It's that simple. So their parasitical descendants now sit there like kings and queens, like the Hawaiian kings and queens, on land that was fundamentally stolen from the Hawaiians through chicanery. So what I'm saying to you is, it depends upon where you are in the social order, and that will explain somewhat of your reaction to Obama's amnesty this evening. But it really shouldn't. It should be equally repugnant to all. Why? Because the executive amnesty that Obama will enact tonight with the stroke of an illegitimate pen is very different than that which you are reading from the liars at the Associated Propaganda Ministry. AP is the Associated Propaganda Ministry. When they've been telling you that his unilateral amnesty is no different than that of Reagan and Bush. It's a lie. They've all been putting it out. But as you well know, if you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. That statement was made by Joseph Goebbels, who was the propaganda minister for Adolf Hitler. Now, the Associated Press is the propaganda ministry for the dictator Obama, because Obama going against the will of Congress, by the way, is not the same as administrative corrections designed to carry out congressional intent. The president has no right to write law. He cannot write law, but tonight he is going to write law. This is not what Reagan did. This is not what Eisenhower did. They, frankly, took care that the laws on the books passed by Congress were faithfully executed. This illegitimate president is going to pass an illegitimate law that has no bearing at all because it's illegal. It's illegal. A president cannot make law. Do you understand why? Many of you are so brainwashed from all the years in the public education system that you think a president can make law. And moreover, you are so brainwashed with your liberalism that you think a president is a law unto himself. But the ancient men that you've been taught to laugh at and dismiss, the old white males who created this nation, the founding fathers, as it were, sounds like an antiquated, quaint term, were wise enough to create a government of checks and balances. And in that set of laws that they created the nation with, they created a set of checks and balances, which means a president has tremendous power, but not absolute power. And so they said a president cannot make law. He can only faithfully execute the law. Do you understand why they did that? Because they didn't want a king taking over a country. We fought against the king. But now we have a man who, because of his background, because of the secret hands that selected him way back in college and greased the skids for him from that day forward, he realizes in his own mind that he cannot be stopped. But I will tell you that there's a paralogical part of me that says he will be stopped. And I go to Greek mythology and I invite you to read The Myth of Icarus. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Bad version. Turn it off, but the sound is awful, man. These downloads are awful. I wish they'd put records back or something. Not everything that comes off the internet is worth anything. Obama's immigrant surge threatens to destroy America. Page 31 of Stop the Coming Civil War. Here's what I wrote. How far has it gone? Well, let me tell you a true story about an illegal alien suing the people who rescued him. In September of 2013, floodwater submerged the car Roy Ortiz was driving outside the town of Lafayette, Colorado. Heroes from the North Metro Fire Department risked their lives by diving into what had become a raging river. How did Mr. Ortiz display his gratitude to those who rescued him from certain death? He filed a notice of intent to sue the town and those who saved his life for $500,000. He claims that signs should have been posted warning drivers of the danger and that crews should have realized he was trapped in his car and pulled him out sooner than they did. The North Metro Fire Department responded this way to Ortiz's intent to sue. I'm sure it was a traumatic experience for Ortiz, their spokesman said. Ultimately, we were just very grateful we were able to save his life that day. Shortly after his intent to sue was filed in March of 2014, Ortiz's attorney admitted to Fox News that his client was in the country illegally. But you see, Ortiz is one of millions of illegal immigrants who are attempting to find ways to game the system in the United States, taking advantage of a federal government that is bypassing the law to make it possible for illegals to stay in this country and receive food, welfare money, medical care, and education for their children at taxpayer expense. A week after Ortiz announced his lawsuit, young Mexicans marched through the streets of Tijuana to the city of Otay Mesa, crossing in San Diego, where they tried to cross into the United States even though they didn't have legal documentation to do so. They were protesting what they claimed to be a rising rate of deportations of illegal immigrants. The protesters blocked two traffic lanes at the crossing. They called themselves Dreamers, after the DREAM Act, which would have given young illegals the right to stay in this country. When the DREAM Act didn't pass Congress, the president issued an executive order that, for all intents and purposes, accomplished everything drafters of the faulty bill had hoped for. There was one little problem with the protest at the Otay Mesa crossing. Under this administration, I wrote, the deportation rate isn't increasing. It's going down. This administration claims it has deported more than 2 million illegal aliens during the past 5 years, making it tougher than George Bush on illegal immigration. What this administration doesn't tell you is that more than half of those who were supposedly deported were people who were caught trying to cross the border illegally. They had never really entered the United States to begin with. Anyway, I'm reading to you what's actually going on and what's behind the decimation of our borders by Barack Obama and his dreamers. They're not dreamers. They're more like a living nightmare. Do you know how much gall these dreamers possess? Even the ones who had already been deported show no respect for our country. In early of March 2014, a group of some 250 deportees who had lived much of their lives in the United States illegally staged a protest march. They chanted, "Undocumented, unafraid," as they attempted to cross from Tijuana to San Diego. The demonstrators demanded entry and called the U.S.-Mexico border arbitrary. That's how much respect these nightmarish dreamers have for this nation. That's how much respect they have for our borders. And that's why I oppose Barack Obama's amnesty. Now, he himself opposes it. At least he opposed it before he supported it. Listen to the flashback when he says he cannot use executive action on amnesty.
I believe such an indiscriminate approach would be both unwise and unfair.
Sometimes when I talk to immigration advocates, you know, they wish I could just bypass Congress and change the law myself. But that's not how democracy works.
The problem is that, you know, I'm the president of the United States. I'm not the emperor of the United States. My job is to execute laws that are passed.
Okay, well, that was then. That's before La Haza got control of him. And I have to again reiterate that when Congress reconvenes in January, the first act they should investigate is how the head of La Haza, Cecilia Munoz, M-U-N-O-Z, was inveigled into the White House. She ran La Raza, which means the race, a brown supremacist group in my estimation, and yet she was put in as a policy advisor. She is directing what is happening right now. How?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, we've heard this kind of rhetoric about this from the House Republicans for some time. I know that their most recent statement referred to Emperor Obama. You know, the fact of the matter is, you know, the president is somebody who's willing to examine the law, review the law, and use every element of that law to make progress for the American people. And that is, and if that is something that Republicans are critical of, then that's, you know, maybe a criticism that the president wears with a badge of honor, I think.
That's the moron who works for the president as his spokesmouth, his propaganda minister, Josh Dishonest. Josh Dishonest just said that violating the Constitution should be his badge of honor. Well, let me read what President O said in 2011 on a Univision town hall meeting when he was explaining to students why executive action is an unacceptable governing strategy. Here's what Josh Dishonest didn't hear. Josh Dishonest, he said this. He said, we've got three branches of government. Congress passes the law. The executive branch's job is to enforce and implement those laws. And then the judiciary has to interpret the laws. There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system that for me to simply, through executive order, ignore those congressional mandates would not conform with my appropriate role as president. That was the lying president or the schizophrenic president back in 2011 when he was still trying to pretend to be a fair-minded, middle-of-the-road guy. Now, let me say this. In context, it's not so much what he is trying to do as how he is going about it that is repugnant to all Americans except the diehards on the far left who hate Congress and hate the constitutional form of government. So again, it's not so much what he is trying to do, it's how he's going about it. He said, you know, he could say, look, there was just an election. I heard the American people. Let's wait until Congress reconvenes in January. Let's debate the issue of amnesty or steps towards towards citizenship. I want to hear both sides. I know that there's a lot of contention in America. I don't want to further divide the country. The election was clear to me. I want to bring the country together. I have 2 years left. I want to do the best thing I can for the nation. I'm going to wait until January when the new Congress is here because I know many Republicans want some form of immigration reform. And I know that McConnell and Boehner want to go along with this. So let's wait for them to take power and then we'll work something out. But he didn't do that. So you have to ask yourself why he's doing it now. He knows he could get as much done probably in January with the quislings in the Republican Party. So really, the question is, why is he going off on this rampage? Why is the rogue president suddenly escaping the circus like this? That's the real question. And I think this is a product of several different elements. One is the illegitimacy of his government to begin with, being run by foreign elements like La Raza. That's number one. And they're pressuring him in ways we could never imagine. We'll never understand what they have on him or what they're doing to force him to do a thing like this, which will destroy his legacy, number one, and will destroy the Democrat Party probably for 25 years. And I stand by those words because most Hispanics in this country do not want millions of illegal aliens in the country. You think that every person of Hispanic descent wants millions of illegal aliens who are uneducated or criminals or diseased in the country? Don't be stupid. There's no solidarity built upon race in this nation that you may imagine exists in certain quarters of America, sure, but not to the extent that you would like to believe in the fantasies of your mind. Okay? It's not going to happen. That's number one. So why is he doing this? It's a product not only of the pressures that are probably being applied to him in secret manners, but also you have to study the man's psychology to understand why he enjoys goading the country and defying the nation. Why would he like this? What's in his makeup that would give him pleasure to make so much of America so have so much distemper towards him and his party? Why is he doing this? You'd have to look into his background to understand it. And I am not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but I can pretty much write such a piece if I had the desire to do so, but I'm not going to do it. I'll let you figure it out. Because he comes from a very unusual background, what with a European-American mother and an African-African father. He had a lot of stresses in his early life, and he had to make a decision in his mind as to which way he would go. And if you read his biography, I realize this is very dangerous territory, and no one else will walk on this third rail the way I'm about to, but I'm going to use his own words. If you look at Barack Obama's own autobiography, I think he wrote two of them, he says that he never identified with the radical black movement at all as a youngster. He had no sympathies, empathies, or feelings for it until he went to Columbia University in New York City. And then he started to get involved in radical black politics. And guess what happened? He became very popular. The stupid white liberals started to high-five him. They loved him. They worshipped him. And so he became more radical, and they worshipped him even more. Then he became even more radical. He became a little H-Rap Brownish. And he became even more beloved by the stupid white liberals. They went along with the program. They were programmed to like that kind of behavior and that kind of rhetoric. And so it's worked for him his entire life. And so the inner circle is no doubt saying to him, look, whatever they call him, we don't have to say barrier, but I don't know what they call him in private, doesn't matter. I'm probably saying to him, look, we just took a beating at the polls. It doesn't really matter. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it because it'll make you a stronger man, and it'll get. I can't even say what I really want to say, so I'm going to stop right here. I thought for a minute I was in a nightclub, but I'm not in a nightclub. I'm on 250 and powerful radio stations, and I want to stay on them with a very successful radio show. So what I will do is read to you a paragraph or two, a story from a book I wrote back in 2005 called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, a book that was well-received, and there's chapter 3 called Alien Invasion on page 57, and much of what is in here has been lifted up whole by people who at the time were working as lawyers in the back rooms of government, small lawyers who didn't have the brains to work in the private sector or the guts to go into private practice, who took safe jobs in bureaucracies and wrote laws and interpreted laws and thought that they were Thomas Jefferson and George Washington in one. But at the time that I wrote this book, no one had ever heard of these bureaucrats. Now, of course, they are leaders in their own mind. Alien Invasion on page 57. A dry heat broiled the Arizona ranch like a Texas barbecue. Jake struggled to stand up, but the growing numbness in his chest strangled his ability to breathe. He pitched forward, his face mashed against the parched earth as he gasped for air. This was his land, his farm, his soil. He spent a lifetime tending to every last inch of pasture. He'd be damned if another herd of human invaders trampled his property, leaving a trail of litter and feces in their wake. Jake rolled his neck for another look at his assailant some 40 feet away. This one was different from the other two-bit bandits who breached his fences. Fences like the one he was repairing when the stranger emerged from the shadows. This one had eyes of darkness, a mottled face, a black head wrap, and a thick bushy mustache. But it was the lightning-fast reflexes that struck Jake as odd. He pulled off a shot before Jake had time to react. Military, he thought? Not that the authorities cared. Jake had reported border violations before. Even with the flood of aliens and the bales of pot, cheap Mexican heroin and cocaine carried in backpacks, nothing but empty promises to end the stampede ever came his way. Jake heaved and coughed out a mouthful of blood. With a squint, he focused on the assailant. Jake inched a Colt 45 revolver from his waistband, took aim, and squeezed off two shots. Neither hit the mark. A barrage of firepower answered his bullets. A hot, sticky pool of blood puddled beneath him, mingling with the dry dust. Jake's last thought was of Sarah, and then blackness. 10 days after the funeral, Sarah sat in silence on the front porch swing. The memory shared with Jake during happier times embraced her like the arm of an old friend. Her bittersweet reflection was interrupted by the arrival of a late model BMW. A middle-aged man in a tailored suit slipped out from behind the wheel. He introduced himself as Alex from the ACLU. This was just a courtesy call, he assured her. Nothing more than a desire to settle matters to avoid a trial. Sarah, he said, had been named in a lawsuit filed on behalf of Raul Martinez of Mexico City for her late husband's attempted murder, acts of vigilantism, and for causing emotional distress. 9 co-defendants, all non-American citizens, had joined in the suit. Alex's clients offered to settle out of court for $3 million, or if they went to trial, he'd have no choice but to go after the entire farm. Jake and Sarah are fictional characters, but the flood of human contraband that ranchers confront on our southern border every day is a national scandal. And I'll stop right there. I try to do it through fiction. And that case, by the way, is based upon reality. And I even named the judge who did it. It's a true story. It's the story of Richard Gonzalez, Luis Gomez, and Carlos Reyna, 3 U.S. immigration officers who had made thousands of arrests without prior incident, all of Hispanic descent, Gonzalez, Gomez, and Reyna. These hardworking Border Patrol agents were uncorruptible. They were fined and sentenced to jail. You know what their crime was? They failed to give timely medical treatment to an illegal alien who had been injured during a raid. U.S. District Judge Lee Rosenthal obviously has her head up a robe. This fraud refused to accept the testimony of Officer Gonzalez, a veteran border agent, when he said he believed the victim was faking an injury. Well, instead, Judge Rosenthal sent their officers to jail. But wait, that's not all. The family of the illegal alien proceeded to sue our government in federal court and in turn won $2.15 million. Judge Lee Rosenthal obviously has her head up a robe. Now, that was written in Liberalism as a Mental Disorder and published in 2005. So we're now in 2015 come January. I've been at this for a long time, since 1994 to be exact. And I have to admit my failures. I've done the best I can. I try to uphold the sanity of the law, the integrity of the United States, our borders, language, and culture as a definition of our sovereignty. And I must admit, I'm not ashamed of the fact that I failed. I did fail you. I thought that after all these books and all of these incredible broadcasts, I could reach a sufficient number of politicians that they would at least use the law to get what they wanted. But now we have come to a new place in American history. And tonight you will hear for the first time a rogue president who has left the circus, who has walked out of the ring of his own party. and will bring hell down upon his own party as sure as I'm standing here. And I predict again that this illegal act of his tonight, which of course will be disguised as he's just doing what the nasty Republicans wouldn't do and he had to act because they wouldn't, all of that rubbish was thrown away at the ballot box 2 weeks ago. All of the lies of the Josh dishonests will not change the minds of the voters of America. And I believe that this will condemn forever the Democrat Party to the ashbin of history. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. As we come to the end of hour number two on the Savage Nation, remember what I said today. Today's act by Obama, his illegal act, his unconstitutional act, will make the Mariel boat lift look like a radar blip as we get flooded with the criminals from south of the border. And remember what I just said. Not all of those here are criminals, but this will open the floodgates to the criminals that the governments of El Salvador, Nicaragua, and others want to get rid of. They're going to flood them here because they're saying, if you're stupid enough to take them with our blessings, here they are. That's what's coming as a result of this illegitimate act by the president. I want to go back now to 2009, is it, Neil, or is it 2005? 2005, to show you that I've been trying to fight the good fight for a long time. Listen now on the Savage Nation. Dateline Los Angeles. Daisy chain immigration destroys America. I said it to you yesterday. You got it from me yesterday on this national show. Why is immigration a topic that nobody will touch but me? Well, there's two reasons. One, because they are not aware of it, is they live in a bubble. They've all made it so big that they are insulated from the day-to-day realities of life, which I, Michael Savage, am not insulated from. I live in the realities. I work in the realities. I take home a paycheck. I'm not one of the media elite. I'm an immigrant son. And I'll tell you, daisy chain immigration is destroying everything I believe in. But Michael, aren't we all descendants of immigrants? Madam, you may have a good heart, but your brain has been weakened and is soft. Yes, of course, we are all immigrants in America, but not all immigrants are equal. When your grandmother or great-grandmother came over here, there were checks in place. You couldn't come in with fulminating tuberculosis. You couldn't come in with AIDS. You couldn't come in with leprosy. You couldn't come in with cholera. You couldn't come in with typhoid fever. Today, not only can you come in with these diseases, but they'll be happy to give you medical care at the dock. And if you come in 9.5 months pregnant and want to pop one out on the dock, go ahead, because that little brat will become an instant American citizen. So you can come in with disease. You can come in pregnant. You can come in broke. And they give you instant medical care. Instant legal care with all of the salivating ACLU attorneys waiting at the dock to see who they could sue on behalf of the immigrant. SSI making more money for having swum across the Rio Grande than your father gets, having fought in World War II. More than 1 million fake documents, including Social Security cards and driver's licenses, were seized during a raid of a self-storage business. The counterfeit documents included resident aliens or so-called green cards. 1 million fake documents, including Social Security cards and driver's licenses? How about Social Security cards? What does that mean to you, Mr. and Mrs. Liberal? It means that if your father fought in the Korean War, or your grandfather fought in World War II, and he's still living, which is unlikely, it means that this slime with a fake Social Security card can collect more benefits than him. That's what it means. That was from 2005. On the Savage Nation, and I'm still fighting the good fight. Again, I have to refer you to my latest attempt to stop this madness. And the fight's not over, by the way. Obama's war cry tonight is just the beginning of the next phase of this huge battle to save America. Stop the Coming Civil War was written specifically for tonight. The War on Our Borders, Language, and Culture should be mailed to your congressman or senator, Democrat or Republican, and warn them that if they do not overturn Obama's illegitimate, illegal act of tonight, you will vote them out the next time they appear before you. This is the Savage Nation fighting the immigration battle for you. Thanks for listening. Another big hour across America. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Charlie Chaplin of our times, to give his little stint tonight. And we all know what's coming as a result of it, which is the end of the Democrat Party as we know it. I mean, we just voted. We saw them, what we're going to do to them in 2016. And the fact of the matter is that if the Republican-elected Congress really wants to overturn the dictator's little maneuver tonight, they can do so come January. We'll have to wait and see whether Boehner and McConnell represent K Street and Microsoft, Facebook, Google, and all of the corporations that hire all of these illegals, or the American voter. And I'm pretty sure I know which way it's going to go. And no matter what Boehner and McConnell are saying now, I doubt very much that they're going to fight him come January. They're lying. That's my guess. Well, let's get down to brass tacks. What he's about to do tonight in his rogue manner is illegal. The liars at the Associated Propaganda Ministry, AP, are trying to have you believe that Nancy Pelosi and Gutierrez are correct when they say that his action of tonight is no different than unilateral actions taken by Bush and Reagan. Well, they're lying, because that's not true. There's a very big difference between what Obama's going to do tonight in going against the will of the people and the will of Congress, which considered and rejected the Development Relief and Education for Alien Minors Act several times, including when both houses of Congress were controlled by the president's Democrat Party. And what Reagan and Bush did was they made administrative corrections that were designed to carry out congressional intent. You see, this is something that Pelosi never studied in her background. But Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution gives Congress exclusive authority to write laws. Do you understand that? You don't understand that. The president himself understands it because he said so. Back in the day when he was pretending to be a mild-mannered, middle-of-the-road professor, he said he can't use executive action on amnesty because he doesn't have the power to do so. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution gives Congress exclusive authority to, quote, establish a uniform rule of naturalization. And it is the president's constitutional duty under Article 2, Section 3 to take care that the laws are faithfully executed. So he is not executing a law. He's making up a law. We all know that. And I've been focusing, instead of the rhetoric of passion, I've been focusing on the rhetoric of the fiscal cost of illegal aliens and amnesty to the U.S. taxpayer. Because aside from whatever position you may take on this, the issue is, can we afford them or not? And the answer is, of course not. What are the direct costs of illegal aliens to this country? Well, the direct benefits they receive are Social Security, Medicare, unemployment insurance, and workers' compensation. And I'm reading now from the fiscal cost of unlawful immigrants and amnesty to the U.S. taxpayer by Robert Rector and Jason Richwine of the Heritage Foundation. It was done a few years ago, so the costs are much higher today. But remember, they get Medicaid, food stamps, the refundable earned income tax credit, public housing. Illegals get public housing. You didn't know that? You can't get a free. Can you get free house? Let's say you're living in a rental room somewhere because you can't afford your own place. It's too damn bad you're not an illegal immigrant, because they get public housing. They get Section 8 credits, Social Security income, temporary assistance for needy families. You may be in a family that's been here for 150 or more years, but you're nothing to Obama. You're garbage. Public education. Who do you think is paying for medication? Who's paying for the population-based services, police, fire, highways, parks? Who's paying for that? as the immigrants enter the communities. Someone's bearing the cost of that expansion of services, aren't they? And a few weeks ago, two sheriffs were executed by an illegal alien from Mexico up in Sacramento, California. Remember that? They don't all come here to work. Some come here to kill. Some come here to run drugs up and down Highway 80. Ask the Highway Patrol about the cartel route that runs from Mexico through California. Don't ask Jerry Brown. He looks the other way. So we, the people, are going to pay for this. And that's why we are agitated that we have an out-of-control rogue president who has left the circus of liberalism. And the costs of amnesty go beyond that of social costs. It goes way into the fiscal costs. So let's go back again to President Obama in the past when he says he cannot use executive action on amnesty. That was then. This is now. Listen to clip one.
So to...
I believe such an indiscriminate approach would be both unwise and unfair. Sometimes when I talk to immigration advocates, you know, they wish I could just bypass Congress and change the law myself. But that's not how democracy works.
The problem is that, you know, I'm the President of the United States. I'm not the Emperor of the United States. My job is to execute laws that are passed.
That was then. This is now. And, of course, Pelosi is one of his chief liars. She is detested throughout America. Outside of liberal bastions, she is detested and laughed at across the country. And her own party disgraced her just this week when they voted down her hand-picked lieutenant and picked a more moderate individual to run a particular aspect of the liberal machine. She is hanging on by the thread of her teeth. Listen to clip seven as Pelosi lies about the border in seven.
So today we're excited about the president's announcement coming up on immigration. It's very exciting. He will make his own announcement as to what it contains, but the action the president will take this week, I'm so pleased it will be before Thanksgiving, are about securing the border, holding undocumented immigrants accountable, and again, reassuring everyone that making sure that everyone plays by the rules.
It's not even laughable. It's not laughable when you look at the stabbings and the shootings that are going on in San Francisco in her own backyard. You'll understand this is not a laughable matter. And the people who are the most affected by it are the idiots, the liberals who live in the Mission District, for example, or the Tenderloin, who think that they're living with the people and getting down with the folks. You know, the hipsters, the type that think that they're down with the people, and even though they're white themselves, they think that whites are racist. So they move into these communities. Usually they're the ones who are victimized by their own stupidity. And that's what you have when you're young and idiotic. You elect a Pelosi and an Obama. Let's listen to clip eight as the Texas governor-elect, Mr. Abbott, tells us what executive amnesty really is in clip eight.
After the president did this last time, we saw all those children come to the border. Understand this. Many of those children never made it here because they were killed along the way. Other children were tortured. Others were raped. It is the United States and the president would be an accomplice to the inhumane way that people would be treated who come here or try to come here because of the order.
Yeah. And then in clip nine, he says what we were looking for. Let's look at nine.
Look at the bigger question, and that is any country that has lived by a dictator fiat methodology has wound up in chaos.
Dictator fiat methodology. Let's go down the list of sound on the Savage Nation. Let's hear Senator Coburn in clip 10.
The country's going to go nuts because they're going to see it as a move outside of the authority of the president. And it's going to be a very dangerous situation. You're going to see, hopefully not, but you could see instances of anarchy. You could see violence.
Then in clip 13, there's Ted Cruz, who is, well, a little too middle of the road for me, but let's hear clip 13.
We are unfortunately witnessing a constitutional crisis. What President Obama is doing is he is defying the law, he's defying the Constitution. This is a moment of testing, and I am hopeful we will see Republicans in Congress stand up and side with the people.
Good. Well, he's on the right track, and he's the one who's going to have to lead the charge come January and push the old guard to do the right thing. I mean, Ted Cruz and the New Bloods are going to have to make sure that Boehner and McConnell stop playing the game that they're really against them when they're really for them. Listen to 14 now.
If the president goes forward with this, if he goes forward unilaterally defying the Congress elected by the people, defying the American voters, then it's incumbent on Republicans in Congress to use every single constitutional tool we have to defend the rule of law, to rein in a president so that the president does not become an unaccountable monarch.
Okay, he's right. Then we have Rand Paul in another middle of the road statement, but at least he's saying it in clip 15.
I think he has absolutely no right through executive order to write new immigration law, so I am very much opposed to it. I'm open to some form of immigration reform. I'm open to expanding work visas. I'm open to a lot of ideas, but the president can't do this. This goes against the fundamental separation of powers that we have in our country.
See, now that's the crux of the matter. Many people in America, many of my listeners, are actually open to some form of immigration reform. They're not diehard opponents of every form of reform. Many are open to it, but they want it done in an orderly, legal manner so they feel secure, to feel that they are living in a nation of laws, not a nation run by outlaws. But as you see, again, the behavior of Obama and Holder and Pelosi and the rest are those of villainous outlaws who actually love violating the law and love getting away with it. But this is a psychological issue rather than a political issue. Listen to clip number 16 now from Scott Walker, a new hero of the Republican Party.
Well, this president went from once talking about the audacity of hope to the audacity of the power grab. I mean, this is, in our form of government, the Congress has the legal authority to pass legislation. The President of the United States can either sign it into law or he can veto it. No one person can make the law. And I think that's just incredibly audacious on his part to think that one person could actually think he has that kind of power over the American people without the appropriate checks and balances.
All right. So there are people speaking out in high places who will probably try to do this in a legal manner come January. But the question is why? See, this is something for psychologists to investigate. Why would a man who just destroyed his own party in the last elections, he was the third rail of the Democrat Party, why would he now triple down on his maneuvering when he knows that the people don't want him to do it? This is another question for another time. I think a hint as to that will be heard in the next soundbite from Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Does that name ring a bell to you? A man who you well know is not given towards executive fiat, a man given towards working with the people, for the people, and by the people. A man, as you well know, from a family of democracy-loving individuals. Here, Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel in clip 18.
I'm proud that the President of the United States is standing up and using the power of the executive pen, so to say, and executive action to change the law, to allow the immigrants that have been sitting in the shadows to become citizens. And after 16 years of debating this through two administrations, he's taking the actions necessary.
But he doesn't have the power to do so. But that would never stop Rahm Emanuel, so why should it stop his good buddy? So we are talking about the fiscal costs of this illegal act tonight. And the night is a night that will live in infamy, because shortly after I go off the air, a few hours later, Obama will turn off the lights in the White House, inducting us into 2 years of darkness. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I want to pull back now. You know, many of you listen to this show religiously. I run into people who say, Mike, I don't know what I'd do without you. And I know many of you listen and never call the show. And I know that a lot of hope was given to me when I was given these huge stations come this last January in the biggest markets in the country and the best real estate in the country and the best time. I mean, on the West Coast, I'm on from noon until 3. On the East Coast, that's drive time, which is the best time, 3 to 6. And people say, we love your show and we love your new show. But there are others who are not so happy with what I've been doing, I would guess. Because they want me to be more humorous and more, I don't know how to put it, more of a raconteur than a political talk show host. And I can't apologize to anybody in the sense that with a topic such as a president violating the Constitution on a daily basis, on an almost daily basis, a president now giving the middle finger to the Constitution And giving the middle finger, especially to the voters who waited so long to say to him, we reject your left-wing policies. It's very difficult for me to give my opinions and take risks in a humorous way. I mean, the fact of the matter is I know what's right and wrong with our country from my point of view. And I can direct my thoughts and opinions in my own way. I've tried to be measured thus far today by focusing more on the law and on the fiscal costs of illegal aliens rather than, you know, going crazy and yelling and screaming. And I think I've done a fairly good job. But we all know that there's a fine line between boring an audience to death with the facts, just the facts, man, and entertaining them. And I've tried to walk that line on a daily basis the best I can. And I am trying my best to engage and grow the audience and to deliver the truth and the numbers and satisfy all the powers that be. Because this, after all, is not a dialogue with my, a monologue for myself in a living room with a dog. This is a dialogue with the nation. This is a dialogue with the world, and I recognize that. And I appreciate the stage that I'm on, and I hope you understand the constraints with which I operate. And so I've chosen to dip back in the past, going back to 2003 from pieces that I have done on illegal immigration. Going back to 1994, I was writing on it, mainly immigrants and epidemics. All the way up to Stop the Coming Civil War, My Savage Truth, where I talk about borders, language, and culture. Now, again, I want to focus on the concept of borders, language, and culture, the mantra of the savage nation. There are liberal Democrats who say, Savage, I'm a liberal savage listener. I said, what do you mean? Well, we agree with you that we need our borders secured. We need our language, English, as the official language of the land, or else we will devolve into a madhouse. And our culture is a culture built upon Judeo-Christian values. I said, well, thank you very much. So how do you feel waking up to a rogue president who has fundamentally said goodbye to all that? I don't respect our borders. I'm erasing them with the stroke of a pen. See, he thinks that the borders were drawn with invisible ink and that what he will write tonight is permanent ink. But I would reverse that and say what this rogue president is about to do tonight will be written not with a permanent ink, but with an invisible ink that will evaporate in January when the legitimate Congress takes power. This is Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
But remember, President Lincoln said public sentiment is everything. So the public has to, I wish the Republicans would at least give the public a chance to listen to what the president is trying to do. And also, does the public know that the Emancipation Proclamation was an executive order? People have to understand how presidents have made change in our country.
Well, again, the Looney Tunes background says it all. You know she's wrong because the woman is a lunatic. Pelosi, Gutierrez are trying to say that amnesty by Obama is no different than other executive orders that were taken by presidents, including Reagan and Bush. Now, it's fake. It's fake history because Reagan and Bush made administrative changes designed to carry out congressional intent. They did not write the law. A president cannot write laws. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution gives Congress exclusive authority. Congress exclusive authority to, quote, establish a uniform rule of naturalization. And it is the president's constitutional duty under Article 2, Section 3 to, quote, take care that the laws be faithfully executed, close quote. Now, since Nancy Pelosi never met a law that she didn't want to evade, in my opinion, she wouldn't know the difference between an executive action that makes certain that the law passed by Congress is executed and one that is simply written by a president to override the people and Congress. So he is simply acting unilaterally is what he's doing tonight. It's illegal. It is unconstitutional. It will be overturned downstream by the Republicans. That's if they really want to overturn it. And I've said this before. I don't think they do. I think Boehner and McConnell are part of the problem, not part of the solution. I know they represent corporate mentality. And I'm not anti-corporation, don't get me wrong, but I'm pro-American, and I put America before the profit margin of any particular corporation. You want to help corporations? Then lower their tax rate to that of most countries on earth. You want to help American corporations? Lower their tax rate to 15% rather than what it is today. That will do more to help American corporations than bringing in cheap labor. And I'll make another statement today that'll be roundly stolen by, by tonight. Tonight's act by Obama will make the Mariel boat lift look like a radar blip. Those of you who remember the Mariel boat lift and what it did to Miami and South Florida and America, for that matter, understand that Fidel Castro said, oh, you want Cubans? We'll give you Cubans. He emptied out his jail cells. Now, you don't understand something. 30% of all prisoners are illegal aliens who came here and committed multiple felonies before they were caught and tried, convicted, and imprisoned. Today's act by Obama will make the Mariel boat lift look like a radar blip because Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, do you think that they're getting rid of their... Let me ask you something. Who is emigrating from those countries? The cream of the crop? Well, no, there are some who are just poor and looking for a better life, and what's a better way to have a better life than welfare? They live better on welfare than they do in their own country, so where would you go if you were invited in? You say they're not on welfare? I just told you fiscally. That's true. They are. They cost us over $1 trillion a year back when this was done by the Heritage Foundation 4 years ago. Cash, food, housing, medical services, Medicaid, food stamps, earned income tax credit, public housing, SSI, temporary assistance for needy families, public education, police, fire, highways, parks. Who's paying for all of it? You are. So don't tell me they all come here to work. And believe me, they come here because they know it's the land of plenty. It's the land of milk and honey. And they're here to milk the milk and lick the honey. So the unilateral amnesty that Pelosi and Obama are trumpeting tonight will turn off the lights in the White House and grant us 2 years at least of darkness. The Mariel boat lift, when Castro emptied his prisons, will look like a radar blip compared to what we're going to get coming across the border. It may look as though he's doing it for the poorest of the poor. It may look as though Obama really is reaching out to the poor Hispanic, the gardener, the maid, the hotel worker, but he isn't. He is answering to Zuckerberg. He's answering to Google. He's answering to the guy who owns Microsoft, Bill Gates. He's answering to the hotel owners. What you don't know is wrapped up in this big rhetoric about helping the illegal immigrant become a citizen or whatever he's going to say tonight is the fact that wrapped in it are the B-1B visas. You know what those are? That's what Zuckerberg, one of the greediest men God has ever made on the planet, in my opinion, that's what Zuckerberg has been after. A guy like Zuckerberg is worth billions and billions of dollars, but you know there's a disease. The disease is called avarice. And avarice is an incurable disease. It's a mental disorder. There's no amount of money that could ever satisfy men like him. And so although he and Gates are worth billions, many billions, and they give away a lot of money, don't they? Then why do they need more money through lower wages? Well, you let them answer that. Why do they put their net worth above that of the value of the America that they use to get where they are? Why is it that they hate America so that they would shaft America for private gain? Because the B-1B visa says we're going to bring in hundreds of thousands of workers from India who will work in our companies for $25 or $30 an hour, if that much, and we will not hire all of the millions of unemployed or, let us say, underemployed American IT workers because they may want $50 to $60 an hour. And although I'm worth billions of dollars, why should I pay an IT worker $50 an hour when I get someone for $20 an hour? That's the thinking. That's the mentality. Now, a rational government would not permit this. But since the government is them, that's why this is happening. But you're not going to hear this tonight. You will not hear anything about the B-1B visas tonight. So what would you like to talk about? The other things I had wanted to talk about that have escaped my mind. I'm not sure executive action on immigration is that interesting to the average person. I don't know if you really care about it. Do you really care? Do you really care about the wave of illegals? Do you really care about 20, 30, 40 million illegal aliens who can't speak the language, won't speak the language, who don't salute the flag, won't salute the flag? Do you really care about the diseased amongst them? Do you really care about the decimation of our hospitals and schools and our prisons? Does that really matter to you? Is that something that's of any importance to you? Because according to Gutierrez, it's not going to cost us any money. They're all coming here to work. So let's be rational about this for a minute, and let's not be hysterical. Let's start from the top. Let's have a frank discussion about illegal immigrants amongst us, okay? I am the son of an immigrant. Therefore, I know what it is to be part of a struggling class of people. I grew up around poor people who worked their way up out of poverty to the lower middle class, let us say. I went to a city college. I couldn't go to a private college. I wanted to go to somewhere out of state, something Ivy League. I could have gotten in, but I just couldn't. We didn't have the money. My father point blank told me in my senior year, he said, I'm sorry, Michael, but you're going to have to work while you're in college. I can't afford it. I have a small little store and your mother doesn't work. She takes care of the home and we have a little house and you're going to have to make it in the world on your own. So, okay, that's it. I didn't argue with him. I didn't cry about it. I had no government grants. So I understand what it is to be an immigrant's son and an immigrant. I saw how hard they worked. They weren't noble particularly, but they were hardworking people who believed in getting ahead by working, and that was the end of it, and keeping their noses clean and not violating any laws and raising their son the best way they could. And so the fact is, I understand the immigrants' mentality because many of them think exactly the way my father did, which is why they love my show. Now, I want to ask you a question, and be rational, even if you're on the side of granting amnesty to illegals. Do you think that the millions of undocumented illegal aliens in this country who are working here really want another wave? If you were to ask the average Guatemalan housekeeper who's making probably 25 bucks an hour working in someone's home in America legally, let us say, does she want her hourly wage cut by half or more by another wave of illegals from Guatemala who will work for $8 an hour? Do you think that that gardener who has worked here for the last 10 years, let's say from Mexico, nice people, I know them, and they're making a living sufficient to buy a new pickup truck, and I don't know, maybe they have a little house somewhere in a neighborhood, they're working their way up. Do you think that they want a gardener to come along on your street, someone who was newly minted here by Obama and Gutierrez, to say he'll do it for 50% of the cost? Of course he doesn't. Do you think that the poor whites and the poor blacks in America who are struggling to find a job to make ends meet want to go and find out that not only are there not more jobs, but fewer jobs? Well, all of these answers are evident in the questions that I raise. I made it very fiscal, very unracial, very unemotional. And I think that you have to come to the conclusion that this makes no sense from the point of view of fiscal responsibility. So you have to ask yourself, why is this demonic man in the White House pushing this forward when he's just suffered the greatest loss at the ballot box his party has seen in the last 60 years? Why? What is motivating him to grant amnesty to millions and millions of illegals when it will only hurt the poor and hurt especially Hispanics who have worked their way up a little bit in this country? Why is he doing it? Who is he satisfying by this? Now, you might jump to the wrong conclusion and say Bill Gates and Zuckerberg of Facebook and those people who run these mega corporations who want to cut their labor costs by hiring immigrants with B-1B visas, which, by the way, will be attached to this bill as sure as I'm standing here. Whatever he writes, he's going to make certain that Bill Gates makes more billions and that Zuckerberg, who can't buy enough undershirts with all the money he has, will buy even more undershirts because he'll be getting workers at B-1B visas from India, China, etc., who will work for less, and he'll have more workers for lower wages. That'll be in there somehow. But they're not the motivator behind this. So who is? Who is pushing this? What is so urgent about this amnesty at this time? Why does La Raza, want all of these millions of illegal aliens kosher, certified as citizens? Why does La Raza, number one, how does La Raza get so powerful? If you ask yourself, how did La Raza get this far? Yeah, I don't know the answer. How did Obama take Cecilia Munoz, M-U-N-O-Z, who had been working as the CEO of La Raza? The minute Obama became president, he hired her away from La Raza and put her into the White House as domestic policy advisor. This would be the equivalent, in my opinion, of a very conservative right-wing, if you want to call it that, president who gets elected and immediately hires somebody from the Ku Klux Klan because the Ku Klux Klan is a white supremacist organization. I know it's hard for you to believe that La Raza and the Ku Klux Klan can be compared in the same sentence, but I want you to think about this from a rational point of view. The Ku Klux Klan is a reprehensible organization that stands for white supremacism, doesn't it? What does La Raza mean? It means the race. And what do they stand for? They stand for Hispanic supremacism. And yet Obama took a woman, Cecilia Munoz, look her up, took her from La Raza and put her into the White House to lobby for the last number of years to make what's about to happen happen. That's what's going on right in front of your nose. It's not good for America. It's not good for the immigrant class. And it's certainly not good for the Hispanics who have come here over the years and have finally gotten a little toehold in America. And that's why I have to say vote no on amnesty. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. It is the Savage Nation. I have been trying to stop amnesty for illegals ever since I began in radio in the year 1994. I've been at it longer than anybody in radio. Yes, there have been people in radio before me, but nobody can say that they've been trying as determinedly as I have to point out the dangers of the alien invasion. And I need to read you something from one of my early books to set the record straight and to show you I've done all I can. We have an emperor, an evil man in the White House, who is spitting on the people, the Constitution. And I fought the good fight. I fought the good battle. The rest is going to be up to you. Let me read you a story I wrote, published in 2005, called Alien Invasion in Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. A dry heat broiled the Arizona ranch like a Texas barbecue. Jake struggled to stand up, but the growing numbness in his chest strangled his ability to breathe. He pitched forward, his face mashed against the parched earth as he gasped for air. This was his land, his farm, his soil. He spent a lifetime tending to every last inch of pasture. He'd be damned if another herd of human invaders trampled his property, leaving a trail of litter and feces in their wake. Jake rolled his neck for another look at his assailant, some 40 feet away. This one was different from the other two-bit bandits who breached his fences. Fences like the one he was repairing when the stranger emerged from the shadows. This one had eyes of darkness, a mottled face, a black head wrap, and a thick, bushy mustache. But it was the lightning-fast reflexes that struck Jake as odd. He pulled off a shot before Jake had time to react. Military, he thought? Not that the authorities cared. Jake had reported border violations before. Even with the flood of aliens and the bales of pot, cheap Mexican heroin, and cocaine carried in backpacks, nothing but empty promises to end the stampede ever came his way. Jake heaved and coughed out a mouthful of blood. With a squint, he focused on the assailant. Jake inched a Colt 45 revolver from his waistband, took aim, and squeezed off two shots. Neither hit the mark. A barrage of firepower answered his bullets. A hot, sticky pool of blood puddled beneath him, mingled with the dry dust. Jake's last thought was of Sarah, and then blackness. 10 days after the funeral, Sarah sat in silence on the front porch swing. The memories shared with Jake during happier times embraced her like the arm of an old friend. Her bittersweet reflection was interrupted by the arrival of a late-model BMW. A middle-aged man in a tailored suit slipped out from behind the wheel. He introduced himself as Alex from the ACLU. This was just a courtesy call, he assured her. Nothing more than a desire to settle matters to avoid a trial. Sarah, he said, had been named in a lawsuit filed on behalf of Raul Martinez of Mexico City for her late husband's attempted murder, acts of vigilantism, and for causing emotional distress. 9 co-defendants, all non-American citizens, had joined in the suit. Alex's clients offered to settle outside of court for $3 million, or if they went to trial, he'd have no choice but to go after the entire farm. Jake and Sarah are fictional characters, but the flood of human contraband that ranchers confront on our southern border every day is a national scandal. Worse, it's insanity. And I'll stop right there. I said this is nothing short of suicidal then. The illegal aliens have destroyed the United States' border with Mexico. And now we have a president about to put the final nail in the coffin. If you want to laugh at the fact that he's tearing up the Constitution, do so at your own risk. Today it's the ranchers on the southern border, the schools and the hospitals. Tomorrow, it's you. This is Michael Savage saying, not God bless America, but on this historic night, as we stand on the precipice of total disaster, it's God save America.
Savage.